Maybe it's the state of the world, or the country, or the city, but people have been saying two things to me lately, often in the same breath. One, we've got to pray, and two, I'm not sure it helps. According to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this present darkness. So he continues, take up the whole armor of God and pray in the Spirit, always. In a small Tennessee town that has always been dry, a local businessman decided to build a tavern. In response, members from a nearby congregation, all teetotalers, held an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. Shortly thereafter, lightning struck the new bar and burned it to the ground. So the owner of the bar sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible for his loss. But the church members, for their part, hired a lawyer to argue in court that the lightning and the fire were not their fault. The presiding judge, after his initial review of the dispute, had this to say. No matter how the case turns out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer and the Christians do not. People have been telling me, we got to pray and I'm not sure it helps. Do you think much about what happens when we pray? Whether it works or not, if the impact is on you or your loved ones or on God? Poet Gerard Manley Hopkins wrote about prayer in this way. Prayer, the church's banquet, angels' age, God's breath in man returning to his birth. The soul in paraphrase, heart in pilgrimage. The Christian plummet sounding heaven and earth. Engine against the Almighty, sinner's tower. Reversed thunder, Christ side-piercing spear. The 6 days world transposing in an hour. A kind of tune which all things hear and fear. Softness and peace. And joy and love and bliss, exalted manna, gladness of the best. Heaven in ordinary, man well dressed. The Milky Way, the bird of paradise, church bells beyond the stars heard. The soul's blood, the land of spices, something understood. Prayer. Research at San Francisco General Hospital revealed that sufferers of heart attacks, heart failure, and other cardiac problems who were remembered in prayers fared better than those who were not. 192 patients were assigned to a prayed for group and 201 patients to a not prayed for group. All of the patients were in the coronary intensive care unit, and neither caregivers nor patients knew which one anyone was assigned to. Prayer group members were scattered across the country and given only the first names, the diagnoses, and the prognoses of the patients. The results were dramatic. The prayed for group had significantly fewer complications than the unremembered group, and fewer members of the prayed for group died. The patients in the unremembered group were 5 times more likely to develop infections requiring antibiotics and 3 times more likely to develop a lung condition leading to heart failure. These findings were published in the Southern Medical Journal, and I read about them in the Chicago Sun-Times. What do you think? People who are interested in prayer seem to fall into 2 camps. Those who think it affects God, and those who think it affects only us. On one side, there are folks who believe that God can and does intervene in real time for the sake of particular individuals, and that he directs the larger currents of history as well. Since we know God is a person, this argument goes, it's reasonable to presume that God's personal nature is reflected in God's care for creation. If God's will directs even the flight of tiny sparrows, how much more does God care for human beings? In this view, God is the good shepherd who protects and heals individuals as surely as God directs natural and historical events. But the reality of innocent people suffering has made many suspicious of this formulation of God's providence and its corresponding view of prayer. We ask and keep on asking. We knock and keep on knocking. We seek and keep on seeking, and we often don't find what we're looking for. Many folks in this country and others clearly don't have everything they need. If we had more faith, could we move the mountains of poverty and violence? Could God? If we had more faith, could we turn back the waters of a hurricane? If we had more faith or prayed in the right way, would God hear us? In the 1980s, when I first started grappling with these questions, you might remember country singer Barbara Mandrell was in an automobile accident right outside Nashville, in which she suffered a broken leg and escaped more serious injury. And news coverage made much of then-President Reagan's get-well wishes to her. God must have been watching over you, the president wrote. But I remember wondering at the time whether Mr. Reagan was aware of the implication of his statement, that God did not care in the same way for the young man driving the other vehicle. He was killed in the collision on impact. I wondered, is his death justified because of bad choices leading up to the incident? Is the singer's life more important or precious than that of the other driver? In the second century, before the Common Era, a believer offered another idea. He wrote, "Those who worship me sincerely with their minds and bodies, giving up their whole lives in devotion, find in their hearts fulfillment. Even those who do not know me well, if their actions are straightforward, just, and loving, they venerate me with the truest kind of worship. I am justice, clear, impartial, favoring no one, hurting no one. But in those who've cured themselves of selfishness, I shine with brilliance." That's a different way of understanding God. It's a different way of understanding prayer, and it sure is a different way of understanding two camps in which the folks who get it right have one kind of experience in an accident, and those who don't get it right have another kind of experience. Am I the only one in the room that was troubled? Is troubled by that way of thinking? The magnitude of bad fortune, or evil, if that's the right word for it, that falls on the innocent rules out for many people any easy confidence in God's direct control of creation. No, the universe is neutral. The sun rises alike on the bad and the good. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Rather than seeing the universe as planned or circumstances as having a particular purpose that we're supposed to figure out, this point of view says that things happen in a Newtonian world of cause and effect. Human beings have the capacity to find and make meaning, but this way of thinking holds that there's no game plan that's being rolled out in the nature of things. This camp argues that we might be changed by prayer, but that's the limit of its influence. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't get enough in one camp or the other. I want more. I see that my prayers can serve to clarify personal motives, that they can offer solace and a sense of connection between people, and perhaps summon up one's resolution to act and make things better. But none of that says much about a dialogue between my spirit and God's spirit. What about that? I wonder. And I wonder that, not expecting God to have a long beard and lean down his great big huge ear next to mine or next to my mouth. Yet, I believe that prayer is more than just me, more than just us, more than just words. I wonder if there's a third way. Suppose that God's power to answer prayer is real, but limited by the nature of things. That is, God's power is experienced and exercised in an interwoven fabric of powers. God is a force, and nature is a force, and human choice is a force, all three. This notion asserts that God does not have a monopoly on power, and neither do we. Think about it. Gravity cannot be defeated, nor can the course of disease sometimes if too much injury or damage has already occurred. Think about it. God surely intends for children to be safe, but that aim can be thwarted by a driver who crosses the center line of a roadway. Think about it. God surely intends for every human being to have enough to eat, but that intention can be compromised by political and economic decisions made by individuals and leaders that we may never meet. But this third way asserts that no power can unilaterally direct the course of events, large and small, and that certain surprising powers can alter history and human hearts. I'm talking about disruptive compassion. I'm talking about the power of shared struggle. I'm talking about the power of just mercy, lifting up folks who've been cast down or cast out. That's power that we can claim and exercise, and it has an impact on me and on you, and I think it has an impact on God. There's a third way that says there's a power beyond us that attracts us to the good and persuades us to be our better selves. And what may be most distinctive about this third way, it invites God to have skin in the game too. That's the nature of our faith. Our faith says not only do we have skin in the game, so does God. And Jesus points to this third way of understanding divine and human power. Emily Dickinson puts it this way: I dwell in possibility, a fairer house than prose, more numerous of windows, superior for the doors of chambers as the cedars, impregnable of eye. And for an everlasting roof, the gambrels of the sky, of visitors, the fairest. For occupation, this, the spreading wide my narrow hands to gather paradise. Our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this present darkness. And so we are asked to take up the whole armor of God and pray in the Spirit always. Not because we're just keeping our hands busy. Not to please our mamas and daddies who may be long dead, but because we know it has an impact here and now and beyond us. We have work to do, and prayer changes us even as it changes the world. There's a kingdom on the way, a city we can build where the guns are laid down and the needles are sheathed, where hearts and doors are left unlocked, and strangers are welcomed for the wisdom they carry. Whatever we may believe about prayer, this third way gets us out of ourselves and into relationship with God and each other, and I am sure that helps. Amen.